We're a bit daunted by the possibilities before us. The clarity your light brings also shines light on potential challenges and adventures. Help us to grow in our trust of your provision to venture confidently into unblazed tomorrows. Tenderly and patiently urge us on for the sake of the fulfillment of your loving reign. While the earth may groan and grumble and attempt to shift and shake us by its blustering threats and dignity-robbing peoples, we thank you that we can live secure in your love and know that nothing can separate us from your love. We remember to your care those who feel distant and undeserving of the hope you bring. Help them to sense the living and risen Christ coming to the threshold of their desperate spaces to bring restoration and healing. Grant them courage to open the door and let him in. We remember to your care those whose sense of self-worth have been impoverished by aging and weakened mental and physical capabilities and hunger for dignity. Embrace them, we pray. Lift them up to look anew at their worth as your beloved, gifted, and cherished people. We pray for those enslaved by selfish pursuits, often at the expense of others, clawing and grasping for things they believe bring life. Free them from distorted worldviews in order that they might recognize the Lord of life working in the world and calling all your children into relationship with you. Oh God, in the quiet now, we hold up to you our loved ones and friends who are in our minds and on our hearts today. O God, we offer our thanks for your continued care and your sure hold of us. We pray these things in the name of him who is our life and our hope, your Son and our Lord Jesus. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning, our gospel lesson, is from Mark's Gospel. We'll hear chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. Hear the word of God. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God. The news in recent days has found me vacillating between hope and despair, optimism and gloom. And I've railed against the fear-filled lashing out of warring peoples in the Middle East and the Ukraine. And then I'm warmed at the news of the recent truce and release of prisoners and hostages, only to be let down again by the resurgence of conflict. I've gotten enlivened by the collaborative efforts of our community leaders here in London to bring together resources to respond to the already burgeoning numbers of unhoused folks, and then only to be dejected by the ending of two potential initiatives. And I lit up when I saw the support of our food banks, but bemoaned the food insecurity that we're facing in the first place. And all this while the gathering UN Climate Summit participants wonder how they'll get ready for for the hottest year in human history. Oh, and this, whilst I skittishly watch and wait for a bulging Icelandic volcano to blow its stack, right? Friends, do you know the feeling of flip-flopping between hope and despair? And world events don't have to take you there. You don't even have to look outside in your own neighborhood or your own home. Shoot, you don't even have to look outside your own soul to find these two, hope and despair, vying for your attention and allegiance. But every once in a while, bright rays of hope burst on the scene in the form of random acts of kindness, changes in policy, and individuals and people groups finding reconciliation. And but as quickly as the light infiltrates my nagging doubts and impedes my slide into hopelessness, something inevitably rears its ugly head and threatens to douse the little flame I possess. Oh, it's still light. That's good. It threatens to push me further into despair. Something has gone terribly awry when I begin to seriously doubt the potential goodness of my neighbor and my world. Glenn Pearson's column in the Saturday Free Press a week ago, Saturday, was entitled, "We Face Tough Questions If We Don't Overcome Our Differences." And Glenn's message was a kind of wake-up call, a pay attention and don't get going all lethargic. While he cites some signs of hope, there seem to be more threats to our collective life, and the general trajectory is an overall decline in the well-being of our world. And Glenn stated, I quote, "Societies are endangered when their contradictions and distractions both outnumber and overpower their commonalities and the institutions designed to enshrine and promote them. When that occurs, dysfunction cripples our politics and peace of mind. We grow more ornery and divided. It is then that our contradictions infiltrate our commonly held beliefs and practices, and society sinks into a lengthy season of dystopia. End of quote. So, we have a choice today. We can both wallow in our funk and resign ourselves to a miserable end, or we can conceive an expectant hope. We can be overwhelmed with the day's seemingly endless threats and founder in a stupor of despair, or we can wait through this Advent season creatively and actively. And we can assume a wide awake, involved stance and attitude. We can wait and watch and act with hope. When we fail to arise in expectant hope, it is all too easy to be overwhelmed with all that is going wrong in our lives and our world. I have to concur with Tom Sine, who stated in his book, Simplify and Celebrate, Embracing the Soul of Christmas. In it he says, I'm convinced that the greatest threat to our spiritual life is not sin, but despair. I suspect, he goes on, that is why Dante wrote about the first gate into Hades, abandon all hope who enter here. Now, given the signs of the times in our world, I could be easily lulled to sleep by the hypnotic litanies of many of today's doomsday prophets. You know, all those chicken littles out there crying out, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. The truth is that for many today, the sky's already fallen. Their earth has shaken, and their mountains have already trembled. The cancer is winning, and the abyss yawns between the haves and the have-nots. The job is gone. Who needs an apocalypse? And for 2,000 years, heightened interest in the last days and the imminent return of Christ has accompanied the countless threatening events and times for nations and peoples. It seems as though every generation has found someone to point to its final hour. And the disturbing, dark, apocalyptic imagery of the gospel we heard, particularly the first part of chapter 13 that we didn't read, is a word that gets a lot of airplay these days. Yet the picture painted in Mark's gospel is so far removed from the warm bath of sentiment we usually immerse ourselves in at this Advent time. Most of our celebrations focus on the first Advent, right? Not the second Advent. And that is, of course, if we focus on Advent, the coming of God into our lives at all. We must remember, the context of our gospel lesson finds Jesus and his disciples leaving the temple and gathering on the nearby Mount of Olives. And there the disciples hear a farewell address from Jesus. And while we may consider the tone of the passage to be threatening and dreadful, the gospel is quite positive. Jesus' message is one of instruction and consolation. Jesus instructs them in chapter 13 that although their generation will witness the destruction of the temple and experience suffering and persecution, know that this is not the end. And Jesus' instruction to them and to us is to not let the course of events sway you into thinking the end has come. And the experience of persecution does not mean the end has come, nor is it an occasion for the loss of hope. Instead, it is a time to be a witness. Jesus' purpose is not to disclose some hidden information, but rather to promote faith and obedience in a time of stress and upheaval, to prepare them for a period of persecution and mission. It's a don't get your knickers in a knot kind of message. Stop your fussing about how things are going to be. Your job is to stay alert, to pay attention. And we're cautioned not to get caught up in some apocalyptic fervor, but rather be caught up in the call of Christ to bear our cross, to witness to the good news, in the confidence that the will of God will be fulfilled before the second coming. Jim Wallace, in his book, Call to Conversion, says of hope, he says, hope is more than just hanging on. It is the conscious decision to see the world in a different way than most others see it. To hope is to look through the eyes of faith to a future not determined by the oppressive circumstances of the present. To hope is to know that the present reality will not have the last word. It is to know that God rules. Instead of watching for signs of the end, let us watch for birth. Let our hope be expectant. No one but God knows the day or the hour of God's final inbreaking. But in the meantime, we are to keep awake, to be vigilant, pay attention, so that we don't get taken in by false prophets of doom. And secondly, so that we don't miss the advent when it comes. I noted earlier that there are those who today are not waiting for the apocalypse. Friends, the world ends daily for many. The message and gift of hope in this season of Advent is that we can have assurance of God's reign and hold of us amid the turmoil. In her book, Circle of Grace, A Book of Blessings for the Seasons, Jan Richardson poetically and poignantly offers us this message of hope. And she calls it blessing when the world is ending. She writes, "Look, the world is always ending somewhere. Somewhere the sun has come crashing down. Somewhere it has gone completely dark. Somewhere it has ended with the gun, the knife, the fist. Somewhere it has ended with the slammed door, the shattered hope. Somewhere it has ended with the utter quiet that follows the news from the phone, the television, the hospital room. Somewhere it has ended with a tenderness that will break your heart. But listen, this blessing means to be anything but morose. It has not come to cause despair. It is simply here because there is nothing a blessing is better suited for than an ending Nothing that cries out more for a blessing than when a world is falling apart. This blessing will not fix you, will not mend you, will not give you false comfort. It will not talk to you about one door opening when another one closes. It will simply sit itself beside you among the shards and gently turn your face toward the direction from which the light will come, gathering itself about you as the world begins again. Friends, what do you hope for this Advent? What new birth are you expecting? Are you open to new possibilities? While there may be change and decay all around you, can you see God's hand? Can you hear God's word and the new opportunities that are emerging? Friends, Advent is active, attentive, waiting to see, to hear, to feel, to experience God's incessant desire to come to us, to speak to us, and to transform us. God is at work among us. Do we notice it? Will we notice it? Let us expect to lose any lingering despair as we receive the very real infilling of hope at our Lord's table.